I think Joel told him to give me this thing. He muted me. It's a wonderful day to be here, and in the life of our church, this is just a highlight as we ordain new deacons, as we install deacons that have been previously ordained. And Joel asked me if I would bring a message, and I had one on my heart, and it really has nothing to do with deacons. We're going to handle that later. But in the elders' meeting, they said, yeah, we're going to do everything this morning. So I realized I was on a short leash, and I downloaded this really cool app. And it's a timer. And they said, I've got 20 minutes. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. It won't start. Okay. All right, here we go. Wow, it's a joy to be here. And there you go, I just figured it out. Sandy and I will be leaving tomorrow. And it's you guys have refreshed our hearts. It's just a joy to get back here. And it just amazes me to know that this little church sends missionaries and supports missionaries all over the world. And it's our privilege to represent the Lord Jesus Christ from this fellowship over in Greece. And wow, the refugees keep coming. Their hearts are open to the gospel, and we need to get back there. This morning, I want to talk about the foolishness of God. I've told all of our sons, Matt, Josh, and Joel, that I would have been a sociologist if there was any money in it. It was pretty obvious to me that there wasn't any money in that. So I said, no. So it was with great interest that I came across the conversation between Russell Moore, a Christian ethicist and writer, and an LGBTQ activist. And they were having a conversation, and it was, among other things, he covered a Christian sexual ethic. And the conversation was very respectful, it was very civil, and it was a good conversation, except during the conversation. All during the conversation, this lady would bust out laughing, and she wasn't being disrespectful. She just couldn't believe what she was hearing. She said to him, "You are the first person that I have actually talked to who believes that sex belongs in a marriage between a man and a woman. You are actually the first real person I've talked to that thinks this way." And they talked on some more, and it got a little more foolish and strange to her. And she finally said, "So you see how strange what you're saying sounds to us, those of us out here in normal America. Seriously, do you know how strange you sound to me?" Well, what Christians and Jews have believed in that arena for thousands of years actually does sound a little strange and foolish to most people today. Well, Russell Moore wanted to drive home that point, and so he thought about his response very carefully. And he said, "Yes, I can imagine how strange this sounds. It sounds strange to me too. But what you should know is that we believe even stranger things than that." He said, "We believe that a previously dead man is going to come back again in the sky on a horse." For those of you new to Christianity or the Bible, or maybe you're just a new Christian, that's really in there. All right. Moore was making this point. He's trying to say to us, stop trying to make our faith fit real nicely with everything else in the world, because it doesn't. The first PowerPoint slide is a quote here. When we try to make our faith sound normal and fit in, we lose the essence of it. We make it into something other than what it is, and it loses its power. Folks, if somebody says, what'd you do yesterday? If they, you know, you're out tomorrow and they say, what'd you do yesterday? Well, I went to church. Well, what'd the preacher preach about? He preached about foolishness. And he said, we should embrace the foolishness. That's going to be the point this morning. When we try to make this message something else, something other than what it is, it loses its power. And we're going to see, the Apostle Paul actually taught that. And that's what we're going to look at now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 18 through 29. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Is that what we have on the screen? You just follow along. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God is well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Guys, that's intentional. He meant to do that. It's intentional. And we need to embrace the foolishness. Keep Christianity foolish and strange. Amen? For those of us who grew up in a generation with Billy Graham and Oliver B. Green and all the rest of those guys, you may think, well, it's still like that. But I know there's some of you in here that are going to say, wow, you need to get out more. It's not like that. And in large measure, those days are gone. So, if you need 10 seconds to mourn that and wring your hands, I'll take a break right here. Just go ahead. All right, now are we over that? Because friends, it doesn't matter. The foolishness of God is still just as powerful today as it was back then. And nothing happens except the Spirit of God moves in and changes people's hearts, and that's what we need today. And if people think it's foolish, hey, that's fine. the Apostle Paul reminded the Corinthians that at the core of the Christian faith is a very strange and humiliating counterculture event. And that event is the cross. Jesus came to be humiliated and crucified. Let me say that again. Jesus came to be humiliated and crucified. He came to give his life. Now, you all could answer to me if I said, why did he do that? To be our substitute. He died in our place. That was God's plan. But he came, and on display for all to see, he was humiliated and crucified. Crucifixion was intended to humiliate and kill. Exhaustion and suffocation. Gasping for air in front of all to see. It was a public torture, and it went on for hours. It was intended to humiliate. And this was the king. This was the guy that said, I'm bringing another kingdom. Killed as a criminal in humiliation. And afterwards, people would mock the Christians and essentially tell them, you are deserving of all the mockery that we can dish out. You're idiots. He was not a king. And yet, these Christians go straight forward and say that he is. And they endured the ridicule and mockery of thousands. And they plowed ahead in the power of God. Yes, it seems completely foolish and strange by the world's standards. And I've been saying this for years. But we are called to live by the standards and principles of another kingdom. You in here, all of us in here, if we are called by the name of Jesus, we are called to live by the principles of another kingdom. Let's put up that next slide with the faith principle. This is a principle that we kind of adopted a few years ago, and I have found this to be so true. Faith, here's a definition of faith. Faith is living your life as though the Bible is true. You say, well, Tim, of course it is. Well, let's follow this definition. You live your life as though the Bible is true, regardless of circumstances, emotions, or cultural trends. Regardless of what's happening in your life, regardless of how you feel about what's happening in your life, and regardless of what everyone else says. And for this morning's message, we'll focus on cultural trends, what everyone else is saying. If you have faith, if you are a person of faith, you live your life as though the Bible is true, regardless of how strange it sounds to everybody else and how weird it sounds. No. You're a person of faith. Did God mean what he said when he said these things? I happen to think he did. It would be in my best interest to listen to him and do what he tells. The church in Corinth, and this is just a very abbreviated, it's just a little exhortation this morning. So I can't go into a lot of detail, but the church in Corinth, those people were trying to fit in culturally in a pagan society. And it was every bit as bad as what we see today in our country and probably worse. They were trying to fit in culturally and adapt their Christianity to their culture. And they wound up, if you read through Corinthians, they wound up going to pagan temples, participating in pagan rituals, and even involving temple prostitutes. One young man in the church in Corinth was having an affair with his stepmother, and the church said, well, we're very tolerant of this. You New Testament scholars out there, what did the Apostle Paul say was going to happen to that fella? what was Paul going to do? He said, I'm going to turn that guy over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. He is bringing such shame upon the church. And the people were tolerant of it. Did it work? Yeah, boy, you read 2 Corinthians. That guy repented. He asked for forgiveness. He got squared away. You get caught up in a crowd of Christians who want to be culturally relative to what's happening instead of biblically sensitive to the obedience of God's word. And many people get led astray. Tell me that's not happening in our country today. But we don't have to go that route. All we have to do is embrace this foolishness and understand it is the power of God. The Corinthian church was displaying a consumer faith. A consumer faith. They're walking through and, oh, I believe I'll take this out of the Bible and let's see, what do we want? Oh, I'll take one of those. No, I don't think so. No, we don't want that. Oh, yeah, here we go. Now, what gets left on the shelf when we have a consumer faith? The weird, strange, and foolish stuff. Because in our hearts, we don't want to be really identified with that, especially if we're not really sure that works. And so we tend to leave those things. Beware, be on guard against a consumer faith mentality. Guys, if he said it in here, he meant it. If you don't understand it today, pray and ask God to give you wisdom. The other elders here, they can pray with you and say, let's figure out how this fits in your life. How does God want this? Joel will help you. And if he doesn't know, he'll pray with you and God will explain it. But don't ignore and negate the things that seem foolish to us. And the things that seem like, well, nobody else is doing that, and I'll really look stupid. You know, John Bunyan, in writing Pilgrim's Progress, he had Pilgrim going, leaving the city of destruction, and he meets this little guy, Pliable, along the way. And Pliable is just that. He's Pliable. And they get laughed at because they seem so strange and weird, and Pliable says, I don't like being laughed at. And he leaves the journey. He does not go on to salvation. He goes back to the city of destruction because he didn't like being laughed at. Guys, we naturally choose to leave the foolish, humiliating things, don't we? But that is where the wisdom of God is displayed and his power. Let me read this. First verse again, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In verse 24, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I get to see this. Sandy and I get to see this all the time as we work with Muslim refugees, and it amazes me every time. If I see it 50 times between now and when I see you next time, it'll still amaze me. Words about the cross of Christ go out of my mouth, and they go through an interpreter, and the listener is listening. And I've got Sandy at home praying, and I'm praying, and then the light bulb comes on, and I pose the question, do you want to follow Jesus? The guy says, yes, that's why I'm here. And he says it in Arabic. And the interpreter says, he said, yeah, that's why he's here. Really? The Gideons talk about this all the time. Put a Bible in someone's hands. They read it, and what happens? Jesus said this. The Holy Spirit takes that word and begins to talk to their hearts. Guys, it's not something that's just physical. It's spiritual. Here's just one example. In Luke 6, 35, we have seen this, and this verse has come alive to me. Luke 6, 35, Jesus said, "But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." You want to be like God? Love your enemies, lend to them, and don't worry if you get nothing back. Because God does that every day. And if you do that, somebody's going to say, "Well, you're stupid." On the plane of earth, yeah, doesn't make much sense. But I got called to live by the principles of another kingdom. And it's not of this world. My time's up, but I want to finish with a song. And I'm just going to read the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it. You all familiar with the theologian, songwriter, Michael Card? He wrote a song called "God's Own Fool." Listen to the words. "Seems I've imagined him all of my life as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priests said a demon's to blame. But God, in the form of this angry young man, could not have seemed perfectly sane. When we in our foolishness thought we were wise, he played the fool and he opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. And so we follow God's own fool, for only the foolish can tell. Believe the unbelievable and come be a fool as well. So come lose your life for a carpenter's son, for a madman who died for a dream, and you'll have the faith his first followers had. And you'll feel the weight. So, surrender the hunger to say you must know. Have the courage to say, I believe. For the power of paradox opens your eyes and blinds those who say they can see. When you are faced in the days ahead as someone who thinks that you're an idiot for doing something that doesn't seem rational because God said that's how you should do it, I want you to understand this. Go back to 1 Corinthians and understand that that person who's laughing and thinks you're so stupid, that is the perspective of a person who is perishing. I see it all the time. We're over in Europe. Europe is a wasteland theologically. I've had people over there look at me like, "You are from Mars." You know what? I read the end of the book. I know how this turns out, and I understand. I've learned to have compassion on that person because they're perishing. Oh, the heart of love is what is going to make a difference. Those who laugh at you, those who mock, those who scorn, have a heart of love and understand they are perishing and God loves them. Soldier on. Praise the Lord.